Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816. It can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7.
Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. The title of our lesson today is The Way of Two Men. Now this psalm is only 6 verses long, so I'd like to read it with you today. If you'll follow along in your Bibles as I read from mine. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings fruit, its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. But the godly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. They won't stand in judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Well, that's a short psalm, but in that psalm we have the way of two men. We have the wicked man and the righteous man. What is the way of two men? What is the psalmist trying to tell us today? What is it like to be the righteous man? What is it like to be the wicked man? Well, before we begin today, I want you to notice the very first word in the psalm. It is perhaps the most exciting and interesting word in the entire psalm. That is the word blessed or blessed. That word is found throughout the Old and New Testament. As a matter of fact, if you were to begin to look the very first time that that word is found, you would only go 22 verses in the Bible. So in the beginning of the Bible, God is blessing man all the way to the very end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 7, where Jesus said, "Look, blessed is the man that kept the word of the prophecy of the book of Revelation." When Jesus was about to ascend back into heaven after his resurrection, he was meeting with his apostles. You remember that. And the Bible says in the process, as he was ascending into the clouds, he was in the process of blessing them, Luke 24:51. I want you to know today that God is full of blessing. And the reason I point that out is that God wants to bless us. There's a lot of Christians that don't believe that. There's a lot of Christians that really believe that God is out to get us. That the Christian life is, he's expecting us, the Christian life, to walk down the straight and narrow. And the straight and narrow is not a path, but it's a thread. And if anyone veers off or stumbles off that thread, the slightest degree, one way or another, then God is just waiting to zap, to send us to hell. And I really pity those people, I really do. Because God wants to bless us. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. God wants to bless us. And so here we have this very first psalm. The psalmist is inspired to tell us about the blessed man that does what God wants him to do. So let's open our Bibles today and look at this. I mean, this psalm begins with a negative. You know me, I like to talk about the positive. I like to emphasize the goodness and grace and love of our great God. But there is a negative side of being a Christian. There are the things that we don't do. And look, he talks about the things that we should not do. He actually intensifies a figure of speech here. Look what he says. He said, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the mocker. All those words intensify. Did you see that? He talked about walking, standing, sitting. He talked about the ungodly, the sinners, and then he talked about the scoffers or the mockers. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar at all, and this psalm is written in Hebrew, but I have read people that have studied the language and said this is what's happening here. If you have the English Standard Version or perhaps other version, it says the word wicked. If you have the New King James or the King James Version, notice there that the word ungodly is used. That has to do with a person that doesn't do the good thing but doesn't do the bad thing. You ever been around anybody like that? I mean they're not bad people. I mean, they're not wife beaters. They're not murderers. But they don't do the good things. I guess we could say that they are negatively good. Have you ever been negatively good? I mean, as a Christian, you base your goodness on that which you do not do? I don't know how many times I've thought about this. You know, there is real value in being negatively good about the things that you don't do. The problem is when you're negatively good and not positively good, you're only a half person and you're not exactly what God wants you to be. And that is the kind of person that we need to take in consideration when He says here in our text, blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That means the person that doesn't do the bad things, but he doesn't do the good things. The better word there is ungodly. The King James renders the better word. Those who do not walk in the counsel. You say, well, Paul, what in the world is counsel? Well, that simply means advice. That means listening to what these people have to say. He said, don't listen to the advice of people who are not positively good because they don't know anything about loyalty or faithfulness to Christ. They reason and work by the standards of the world. Therefore, their advice is not valid. He says, look, someone who walks in the counsel of the ungodly is often leading in the wrong way. Now, they're not the bad people that we often think about. They're not telling you to lie, cheat, and steal, but the things that they're advising you to do often will lead you to the things that are not spiritually good. And as a result, you go to phase number two, and that is to walk or to stand in the way of the sinner. Look at your text. That's what it says. Now, the word sinner here in the Hebrew has to do with a person that does the bad thing. Now, the first guy, he didn't do bad, but he didn't do good. This guy actually does evil. He practices evil, and he knows it. He does it deliberately. And so he's a sinner. And so what he's trying to tell us is, look, if you're the kind of person, if you're the individual that will listen to the advice of somebody who is not good in God's eyes, somebody who's not active in doing that which is right, what will happen is you will begin to walk in His counsel. He'll begin to give you advice. And even though that advice sounds perfectly logical by the reasonings of the world, I mean, it sounds all right, it will often lead you to the place where the sinners are. Notice that person is no longer walking. They're not making any type of progress. It says here that they are stopped. They are standing. They are dying because they are standing in sin. Advice of the ungodly. You know, that kind of advice is given throughout the Bible. You remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? Remember when his brothers first decided that they were going to kill him? And remember, Reuben intervened and said, don't do that. He's our brother. And the Bible says later that when Reuben was gone and the caravan of Ishmaelites came by, remember it was Judah that spoke up and he said, man, what were we thinking? I mean, we were going to kill our own brother. What a terrible thing. How could we do a horrendous thing like that? Let's just sell him as a slave. That makes sense. Why don't we make some money off of him? That kind of reasoning, my friends, can lead to terrible things. The world says, look, if it feels good, just do it. The world says, if you are a consenting adult and you're not going to hurt anybody, then don't worry what anybody else says or thinks. Do your own thing. I mean, surely God understands. I mean, after all, God wants you to be happy, doesn't He? And if you listen to that type of reasoning, my friend, it will eventually lead you to be the kind of person that actually does the bad thing. And after a while, you can rationalize and you can justify anything. That person winds up standing in the way of the sinner. Which leads to number three, to actually sit down in the seat of the mocker. Now, the mocker is a guy that doesn't do the good thing, but he does do the bad thing, but he has become desensitized. He doesn't feel it anymore. You know, there's a lot of sinners that are still sensitive to the fact that they are sinning. And that's the people that we try to reach. That is the people that we try to preach the gospel to. Those are the kinds of people whose heart can be changed. They become Christians. They can leave all of that. But if a person ever becomes a mocker, it seems that they are totally out of reach because they become hardened. They have become desensitized. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. A mocker? Everything is bad. They make fun of those things that are good. I have seen Christians become mockers. Have you? In a church where I was working, there was a deacon. And that should have been an indication of something good about him. He was the song leader, and that should have been an indication of something good about him. He taught an adult Bible class, and that should have been an indication of something good about him. But he became interested in being rich. Now, there's nothing wrong with being rich as long as the love of money doesn't become your God, 1 Timothy 6:10. But because his obsession was becoming rich, he began to listen to all kinds of people, people who were not godly people. And he began to listen to them because they were, quote, successful in the world. And they were directing his life. Look, this is what you should do over there. Here's what you should do over here. And he began to listen to them more and more and take their advice. So finally, he began to go to the places where they went, do the things that they did. And it wasn't too terribly long that he was standing in the way of the sinners. I guess we in the church did not have our eyes open wide enough to really see what was going on, to see what was happening. And when we finally did sit down to talk to him, he was mocking. Oh, you people are here to save my soul, aren't you? I don't want what you have. Man, I have something so much better. At the same time, he was saying things like, I don't need God, I don't need Jesus Christ, I don't need you church people, I don't need anything. And it was so sad. Nobody could talk to him. He'd become hardened. And that is the wicked man. So let's review. What does it say about the righteous man? Well, the first point is that the righteous man is blessed because of what he does not do. He doesn't listen to the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of the sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the mocker. He doesn't let sin whip him. And sin can do that to you, and sin can do that to me. That's why Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. But secondly, let's see what he does. The Bible said he's blessed because of what he does. Verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He says the blessed person, the person that has joy, loves the Word of God. Now stop and think about that. There are so many passages in the Bible that are so rich with meaning, that have so much to say, that are so powerful in our lives, that touch us as we live, that touch us as we are. And everything about us is made differently only when that Word of God becomes a part of us, by digesting it, making it a part of your total being. And that's why it's important to study your Bible, not every once in a while, not on Sundays, just not on Wednesday nights, but day and night. He said, man, if you're going to be happy, if you're going to be the blessed man, you need to spend the time in the Word of God. Well, thirdly, let's see what this man is like. The Bible says that he is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither. You know, trees are kind of interesting, aren't they? I remember that when Tammy and I moved down to Alabama back in 88, Tammy had grown up in Kansas. If you've ever been to Kansas, you know it's kind of flat. There's not a whole lot of trees, a lot of prairie. And she'd never been to Alabama before. And I remember what she said when we came to Alabama. She said, besides the fact that people talk funny, she said, man, look, everything is green with trees. He said, this is not what you're like. He said, you're not like a piece of wheat blowing in the wind. You're not like a soybean. You're not like a melon vine. He says, you're like a tree. You are big. You are strong. You provide haven. You provide shade, rest, strength. You are the very symbol of strength as a Christian. Before we left Missouri back in early August to come and move back down here to be with you, there was a lady in the church that kept telling me, she says, you know, I want you to go with me one Saturday and I want you to see the big tree. Well, we were so busy. We had so many things on the plate. We had so many things going on, so many irons in the fire. I just said, you know, I don't think I have time to go look at a big tree. By the way, I've seen big trees before. And she kept on. I said, all right, we'll go. And so we drove and drove and drove and drove. And I kept thinking, I'm going all this way to see a tree? And there was a narrow road that cut through a soybean field and a corn field. And next to that road, in the middle of nowhere, in the bottoms of the Missouri River, was this giant oak tree. It was 32 feet in circumference. The Department of Conservation estimated its age to be somewhere around 11 to 1200 years old. It was massive. I think there were 11 of us to go, and someone said, well, let's all join hands and see if we can reach around this tree. And so here we were holding hands with our faces up against the tree, and I'm thinking, I hope no one passes. These tree huggers, you know. But I thought, you know, this tree could have started growing in somewhere like 806 A.D. I thought about the storms it must have been through. The ice storms. All the times it's been struck by lightning out there in that field. What endurance. I mean, you cannot look at a tree like that without getting a sense of strength. And he says, look, as a Christian, you are this tree. You are blessed by God. You have been planted by the rivers of water, which means if there is a drought that comes, that all the other trees out there may die, but you won't. You will grow bigger and stronger, and nothing can tear you down. You see, that tree he's talking about is an individual. And that individual cannot be starved out because he is feeding and meditating on the Word of God. He says, you're this tree. You cannot be defeated. Your leaf cannot wither. And that is what the man or woman of God is supposed to be like. Stable, strong, steady. That the winds may blow, but you'll never break. The drought may come, but you won't die. Because God, through His provision, through His Word, through His outpouring, is taking care of you. And what happens to you? Did you see what it said in the text? It brings forth its fruit. You will yield fruit. 365 days a year? No. Sometimes in life, the winters come and it looks as though all of our leaves are gone, but we're still there strong, and when the time comes, that we will bear much fruit, John 15:8. So that's the good man. What is he like? Well, he does not let sin lead to a hardened heart. But what he does is he meditates on the Word of God day and night. And the third thing is he's like a tree planted by the streams of water. Think about that. He meditates on the Word of God day and night. Why? What did Jesus do when he was tempted by the devil in Matthew chapter 4? You know what he said? He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He said, it is written, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. And then he said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He quoted Scripture. Why? Because it gives you strength. It helps you to be a better father and husband, mother and wife, a better son or daughter, a better Christian, a better teacher. Whatever I'm doing, if I'm in the Word of God, it makes me strong. And that's the message of the psalm. That's the good man. And then lastly, whatever he does prospers. People, may it never be that I think that I prosper myself. Like what Carrie said in his prayer this morning. Whatever benefits or blessings that come, it is God who gives to me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. You say, Paul, is the wicked man a tree? Wicked man's chaff. You know what chaff is? It's the husk off wheat. You know what it's good for? Nothing. They just burn it. What he's saying, as the wicked man, that you have no stability, you have no strength at all. What would it take to kill you? A hurricane? A forest fire? A severe winter? No. You just get blown away by the first wind. And how many people who are ungodly people have been blown away and toppled over by the first wind because they had no root system? That's what the wicked man is like. And I want you to look down in verse 5. Not only does he have nothing in this life, he has nothing in the next. It says, look, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. He has nothing in the next life. But we as Christians, we have everything in this life. I would just think about the Bible and all the great verses of encouragement. 1 John 4:4 says, he says, greater he that is in you than he that is in the world. John 10:10, Jesus says, look, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, then who can be against us? 37 says, look, you are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Do we know in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that all things work together for good for those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose? Isn't that great? It's great to be a Christian. I can't remember what night it was, but it was one evening right after the services of our gospel meeting. I was in the bathroom and a young boy was there, probably 6 or 7 years old. I think he was from Ferris Drive. And I had my little name badge that reminds me of who I am on. And he said, are you one of the preachers? I said, yeah. He said, do you have the same name that I do? I said, I don't know. I said, what's your name? He said, James. I said, well, my name's Paul. I said, but James is a good name. I said, James is a Bible name. And he stood so proud. He said, yes, King James. I said, yeah, that's a good name. It is a Bible name. Or a name of a Bible. That's the way I feel. That's the way I feel about being a follower of Christ. That's the way I feel about being a Christian. That's the way I feel about being a member here at the West Huntsville Church of Christ. I remember hearing a story a few years ago about a young preacher who had it all. He was an excellent preacher. I mean, you could really tell that God had given him a gift. People said that when he would walk in the room, you could tell that he was just confident that he knew his Father and he felt good about it. And when he preached, it was just unbelievable that people would respond to his preaching. When he was 25 years old, he was invited to speak at a major college lectureship. When he was 27, he was invited up to Lower Michigan. He was to preach at a big Billy Graham type campaign in a coliseum there for the Churches of Christ in that area. Thousands of people were there. But he began to listen to the ungodly. He began to stand in the way of the sinner, and as I talk to you this morning, he now sits in the seat of the mocker. There was an older preacher that was his good friend. He said one day that this young man came in his office and sat on his couch. He said he looked 10 years older than he was. He said he sat down and he looked at him and he said, "The Bible's right." He said, "What do you mean the Bible's right?" He said, "You know what I'm going to do when I leave your office today?" He said, "I'm going to go to a local bar. I'm going to drink till I'm almost drunk. I'm going to find a woman who's willing to go back to my hotel with me. I'm going to spend the night with her. That's what I did last night. That's what I did the night before. That's what I'll do tomorrow night. That's what I'm going to do." He said, "But there's no pleasure in it. No pleasure at all." He said, "I'm whipped." And his friend said, "Well, no, why don't you repent? Why don't you just come back to God? It'll be all right. You can be forgiven. You can leave all that." He said, "I can't." He said, "Why can't you?" He said, "The Bible's right. My heart's hardened. I couldn't leave it for anything. I couldn't leave it for anything in the world. I know that I'm bound for hell. I'm living as close to hell on earth as anybody that I know, but I can't leave it." He said he got up out of his office and he walked away. And the preacher said he just put his head in his hands and he just cried like a little baby. He couldn't touch him. That's what sin does. This morning, listen. You can be the blessed person. You can be the happy person by what you don't do. By what you do. And who and what you are in Jesus Christ. This morning, if you have been listening to the counsel of the ungodly, if you are standing in the way of the sinner, I beg you this morning, will you stop being the chaff and become that tree? You see, we really have seen the way of two men this morning, haven't we? Portrayed for us on the pages of God's Word. I pray today that you will make up your mind, that you will resolve that you are going to be the righteous man or woman of God. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, I invite you to do that. If you're not a Christian, will you become a Christian? Ananias wrote Paul in Acts 22:16. He said, "Paul, what are you waiting for? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Will you do that today? Will you come as we stand and as we sing?
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.